This is the Nocti Podcast, breaking down the questions and working toward solutions that affect our industry. Welcome to the Nocti Podcast. Hey, it's Eric Hulkgren, and on this episode, we talk to Steve Locke. He's the Director of Career and Technical Education at MOISD, and to two students who are attending MOISD, Sam and Bailey. And we talk to them about the skills gap, how they got involved, and where they think this is all going. So we started by asking Steve about the history of MOISD and where he thinks the future of the industry is going.
If we're talking specifically career and technical education, we're looking at the traditional career center programming, which is based in high school CTE program. So we've been doing it for over 40 years here in Mecosta and Osceola counties. It's for juniors and seniors at the high school level. They participate for approximately 40% of their school day. So they have a portion of their education that takes place back at the local district, and then a portion takes place here. We actually have 17 programs for students to participate in, and they range everywhere from public safety, which Sam is here to represent. We have Bailey from welding this morning, but we also have nursing. We have CAD drafting, digital video. So we have a wide spectrum of programs for the high school students. Starting last year, we developed a new CTE endeavor, and we're calling it Misiola Tech, and it's for beyond high school students. So we're looking at an adult population. It's tuition-based. It's an accelerated career credentialing, technical skill training program.
So how would an after high school student find out about this? Like, who's the ideal person to get involved in that?
So an after high school person would probably hear a radio ad, or they would visit our website, MisiolaTech.org. They could contact the main office at the Career Center, or we do have a separate office set up for Misiola Tech now. There's phone numbers for both of those locations, and we've provided a list of courses on our website. They would just contact us directly.
And so let's go back a step. Like, how does a high school student find out about this and get enrolled, and what's that process look like?
So we actually have a number of outreach opportunities for our high school program. We start with eighth grade tours. In that process, students go through their educational development plan, also known as an EDP, and they have a matchmaker process, an interest and aptitude assessment, which makes them aware of the different programs that best fit their personality and career goals. And then they come to the Career Center as an entire eighth grade class, all of the eighth graders within the district will come here, and they will probably visit five, six programs, and they get to know a little bit more about what we do here. Then, during their sophomore year, we host an event called Get Your Career in Gear. We go back to that EDP process. We have students update, go through the matchmaker process again, and then, have them have an experience here at the Career Center that's best matched to their aptitude, interest, and abilities. So when it comes time to schedule classes for their junior year, they have the Career Center experience fresh in their mind. They know what we offer, and hopefully they can participate through that process. We also host an open house every year. This year it's in March, in which the whole community is invited. Then students will come, students that came through Get Your Career in Gear Day, eighth grade students will come back with their families. We market it through the chamber. We market it through various social clubs, and we get lots of community members that way.
And so I'm going to start with you, Bailey, because, when we talk about this EDP process, you were saying before we started that you changed, right? Like, originally you were going to go and join the FBI, and now you're welding. Can you walk me through, because that's a big leap? How did that happen?
I kind of walked into the welding room because that was one of my three classes that I could get to. And I kind of just, I walked in. We came in a little late because Crossroads bus wasn't on time. But they had already started, and I kind of looked in. And I was like, what is this about? And my parents and friends had, commented about how it had been, in our blood and all that. And I kind of just felt like that's where I wanted to be. And then later on, I think it was the third one that I got to go to, I had gone into public safety, and it didn't feel right in there for me. So welding was kind of where I felt myself, I fit best.
And so how long have you been in the welding program?
Just this year, so 2 months, 3 months. It's going really good. I'm really enjoying it. The instructors are, you know, really helpful with learning how you have to do it and kind of getting me started where I need to be.
And Sam, how did you, public safety is kind of a big thing.
It
goes all over the place. You're obviously in the EMT program. What got you here?
Well, I actually started as a year one public safety student, and I wanted to be a lawyer, and I talked to my counselor about it, and she said, you know, if you go take public safety, you'll get some of that background, and you can go and, you know, check out a bunch of the opportunities that they have to offer. And so I decided to go ahead and do that, which I fell in love with it. I was like, I want to continue down this path. I don't want to be a lawyer anymore, so.
What was that, stop there for a second, like, what was that moment where, you know, you want to be a lawyer and now you have this thing where you go, nope, this is what I'm going
to
do.
I wanted to be, like, in the field helping people and having hands-on work, and they offered that for me, and it was a great opportunity.
And so, right now, you're in the EMT program. Talk me through what that's like. What are you doing on a day-to-day basis?
Right now, we're getting ready for our Module 1 exam, which is basically just preparatory work, and then we'll move on to Module 2, which is airway and things of that sort. It's kind of complicated, but it's super fun, and it's definitely a challenge, and I really enjoy it.
So, if you don't mind me interjecting for a quick second, you know, Sam's a second-year student, and the way that we've designed our public safety program is that first year really is a survey of all things public safety.
Sure.
Then that second year for students that have experienced success and have indicated that they want to go on as a public safety student, they have the option of pursuing Fire 1, Fire 2,
yep.
EMT, like Sam has chosen to do. They can also do Corrections Academy, where they'll be certified corrections officers when we're finished with the program. And am I missing one?
Nope.
That sounds right. Yep. So those are students that have come back that really want to pursue. And what's really quite cool about those programs is they all result in a credential that the students can use immediately upon graduating from high school or beforehand if they turn 18 mm-hmm. and finish the certification to go directly into a career in that field.
Sam, what would that look like for you? Where would you like to end up?
Well, I'm actually going to join the Air Force after high school, further on in the medical field, but I'm hoping before I leave to kind of work for Mecosta EMS, and I'm actually a cadet on Morley Area Fire Department right now, so that'll help out with that too, and I can do some training with them and maybe get my Fire 1 and 2.
So when do you sleep then?
I have no time. No time.
So the other interesting thing, she'd mentioned that she'd went in to talk with her high school counselor, and her counselor recommended the Career Center, even though she had indicated that she wanted to go in and be a lawyer,
mm-hmm.
right? So we have great relationships with the local district counselors, and I think that they understand what we are attempting to do here. They understand what skills students need to be successful as they transition from high school into either post-secondary or career directly. So we've got great relationships with all of our local counselors, and we're seeing a steady flow of students every year. In fact, our numbers are higher than they have been historically, despite declining enrollment from the ISD service districts as a whole.
And so let's sit on that for a second. Like, what do you attribute that to? Because in the first podcast, we were talking, like, this is a real sore point, right? Is the education that there is other things in life than needing to go to Harvard, right?
Like, absolutely.
There's other things to do, and for some parents, that there's a misunderstanding of what that stuff looks like and what a place like this can actually do. So can you walk me through a little bit why
sure.
you have that great relationship?
Sure. I think that's a conversation that we could have for the entire duration of this conversation, but it's multifaceted, right? I think with the cost of college becoming higher and higher, I think that some people have recognized that it's no longer an option to simply work a little bit, pay for school, you know, kind of figure things out as you go. It's a very expensive, exploratory process. And so what parents are seeing, especially as there becomes a greater gap in the number of people going into the skilled trades, you're seeing supply and demand push salaries and hourly rates high enough to where it's becoming one of these what really makes sense. You can go accrue a bunch of you can accrue a lot of debt to pursue something that you might or might not want to do, or you can go directly into a skilled trades or professional career with some credentials and kind of figure things out as you go while making some money. So I think that that is one of the variables that's being considered when trying to make CTE as viable as an option as post-secondary.
But when you talk about career tech, I think you're kind of glossing over some Harry Potter magic here, right? Because
sure.
That guidance counselor could have very easily said, no, yeah, you absolutely should go enroll in a school and go to 4 years, you know, undergrad, and then go
sure.
to graduate school, then go to pre-law, and then take, right, and do all of that stuff and end up working at the limited, right? Like, because that might be a real thing. But had the foresight to look at you and go, yeah, that's cool, and you could probably end up at a lawyer if that's what you want to do, but try this first. And I think that's pretty special.
Sure. So over the 10 years, we really had this focus on using the students' interest in the things that we're doing here at the Career Center as a hook. And we realized that once we get students here, we can teach them to be successful through career readiness practices, right? Because every employer that we ever talk to says, it's great that the students can do a vertical weld, a vertical up weld. I don't know. We can get corrected at any point. But what we want is someone that's going to come to work every day, somebody that's going to be on time, someone that's going to show some initiative and a self-manager, and they're ready to be a contributor to an employment situation or to an employer. And so we use welding, we use public safety, we use culinary arts, things that students are naturally interested in. We get students here, and then we kind of infuse all of this career readiness practice right into the curriculum. Students get academic integration into the curriculum. All students that participate in the Career Center qualify for that fourth-year math requirement for the Michigan Merit curriculum. So there's a lot of bonus things that take place at the Career Center that one might not know if you don't have a relationship with a CTE center.
And I've got some experience at the one in Kent County, which is why I was excited to go do this, and to do it here in the restaurant, because it's one of my favorite ways to kind of educate people on what that looks like, because these kids are running a restaurant.
Absolutely.
Right? Like,
absolutely.
Kind of walk me through that, because they walk in here and it looks like a restaurant, it operates like a restaurant, and that's kind of that real-world experience you're talking about, right?
Yes. So, again, the program designed for culinary arts is a two-year program. That first year, very much introductory to all things culinary arts, a survey of the industry. Then students are slowly exposed to the restaurant, to operating the front of the house and the back of the house aspects of a restaurant. And those first-year students, as the year progresses, will start coming alongside of a number of our second-year students that have already had a year and a half experience, and they start learning from their peers. And so by the time they're second-year students, I think we're 8-10 weeks into the new school year, the second-year students do almost everything out here in the restaurant. You know, everything from developing menus, setting up the restaurant, working with the staff to order food. It's very autonomous from a student perspective.
Very cool. Now, if we go back a second, Sam, when I was talking about parents kind of having a misunderstanding of a career center, like,
oh, yeah.
You were nodding your head vehemently. Like, was that a conversation you had with your parents?
It definitely was. They wanted me to go ahead and take college classes because we have Ferris up here,
sure.
And I can get those free while I'm in high school, and that's what all my friends were doing and things, and they definitely want me to go to college. And I kind of wanted to, you know, come to the Career Center, try my own thing, and they didn't understand is that I'm getting offered college credits being in here, plus it's hands-on, and it's something that I really enjoy. So.
Now, did you know that going in, or did your guidance counselor tell you all that stuff, or, like, how did you come armed with that to have that conversation with your parents?
I kind of knew a little bit about it when I was going into it, and I did have that conversation with my parents, and it was definitely a big consideration with them. And my counselor did talk a little bit about it, but I definitely knew more about it when I got here and my first year and things like that. So.
Very cool. And Bailey, you said welding was in your family's blood. Like, were they already hoping that you came here, or what was that like?
They already knew that I wanted to go farther into the public safety, and then when I had told them about, you know, well, I could go do this and this, and they kind of said, well, yeah, you know, this is what it is. You should go check it out. So they kind of pushed it a little bit at first, and then I think that kind of grew in my excitement for a little bit. And then when I really got in there and I was like, yeah, this is really, really what I want to do, but Like my great grandfather did it, my grandpa, my dad does, you know, he's not in for working for welding, but you know, he knows how to do it. Sure. And it kind of just, everybody in my family just kind of knew how to do it. And I really didn't know that till later on. And then I was like, oh, okay. And then when they got me in there and they're like, oh, you're a good welder right now, just starting out. Have you ever welded? And I'm like, no. And they're like, oh, well, you're doing really good. So then I was like, I'm good at this, and, you know, I like it, so I was going to go into it that way.
What does that feel like when you figure out that you're good at something, right? Like, you try something out of the blue, and people go, hey, have you done this before? And you're like, no, and I just kind of naturally skill. What's that like?
It feels really good, because you kind of, like, you think you're not doing as well as you should be, and then all of a sudden someone's like, well, you're actually doing good, and you're like, well, oh, you know, I didn't know anything going into welding, and to find out that I actually had a little bit of skill before they had actually really taught me anything, it's kind of like a boost of confidence, and it really just shows through the work, too.
And so this has been a great experience for you?
Oh, yes. Yeah. It's been amazing.
What do you tell your friends? Like, do you have friends that go here? Or
yes.
What's that like?
My one friend that goes here, she's in cosmetology, so it's kind of like a two separate worlds. Sure. At that part. Yeah. So she'll come in and visit, you know, see me, and at the beginning of class, of course, and before it actually starts. And then I might go in there with her one day and show her, because she'll do stuff to my hair, or she'll be interested in, you know, learning the process on how to weld, and I'll explain it to her. So we kind of try and understand each other's worlds at that point and just kind of grow in there, so I can teach her a little bit and she can teach me some, and it's, you know, it's fun, and seeing that different connection there too.
Steve, let's talk a little bit about the skills gap, right? And you know, what are you guys seeing from an administrative level? You're having growth here, and you were saying a couple minutes ago that the industry of tech centers are not seeing this growth. What do you attribute that lack of growth to? Is it misunderstanding? Is it, like, what do you think that's about?
Again, there's a lot of variables to this discussion. So, you know, what we see in general and what we hear from regional employers is that they can't find individuals that want to work, mm-hmm. that are capable of working, or that have an interest in long-term relationships with a company. I think we have a little bit of fickleness in our current work environment, especially as unemployment rates get extremely low. The opportunities to job hop become higher. And so all of these variables kind of have contributed to an employee-favored work environment in which an individual has lots of opportunities if the current situation doesn't work out. And then when we talk about the skills gap, there's a certain level of commitment required to attain those skills. You have to get some sort of training. Sometimes you're looking at apprenticeship programs. Again, going to a workforce that can be sometimes fickle, it's harder to get people interested in those jobs. Now, I applaud these two young people here today, because they've recognized, you know, that something that they can get excited about. You know, they're currently being trained as a, you know, as a welder or as an EMT. Those jobs aren't glamorous, and I think they know that full well, and they're both ready though to jump in and get their hands dirty in those respective careers. And I would say that they are probably not the norm in the culture for which we're currently operating.
Which is why I'm so fascinated about what's happening here, right? Because you have two people doing two very different jobs who are excited at two different levels. You know, you have one whose parents were excited, like, you should totally try this out, let's support you, and one who kind of had to use her non-existent lawyer degree to, like,
certainly,
you know, pitch a case to come here. But both of them highly passionate, and to your point, that's not really the norm, right?
Certainly. And so we do have a passionate staff here as well, and we talk about that concept that we simply have to get kids here. And once we get students here, once we get students, not kids here, once we get the students here, we're able to slowly kind of recondition for those students that have not yet acquired the perspective that work is work, and that there's a lot of internal enjoyment that you can get from being productive, from contributing, from being part of a team, all of those different aspects that I think sometimes are lost in vocational training or lost in this idea of, you know, we're constantly looking for something that's fun. And so how do you recreate a value system for a whole generation? And we think that the staff here does an excellent job at helping everyone connect with that idea that you can get a certain level of fulfillment about being a contributor in a system.
And to some extent, it can still be fun, right? Like, you know, right?
Oh,
you
got certainly.
The salt mines every day. But I think that's an interesting perspective, is that we have this sort of one-size-fits-all course of action,
sure.
Right? Like, you start, and, you know, we were joking about this in the first podcast, it's like, when your kid's five, are they going to go to a Montessori school? As if this matters at five, that they're going to become sort of some sort of protege. But as you go through that process and get through high schools and a fair amount of high schools throughout the United States, the path is college. That's the one size fits all. This is what we do.
Certainly.
When that's not even close to true. And, you know, there's a million different paths for people. And some of them require, A, like you said, exposure to these things that they might not even know about.
Sure.
If food service is not in their family's repertoire, they've never done it before, that student might not even know what that looks like. Or if their parents don't work in EMT services, they might not even know what that path looks like, or works with their hands and does welding. What do you think parents can do? And I know this is a loaded question, right? But what can parents do to kind of better understand their students and what they might be interested in, as opposed to just going, let's finish 4 years and then send you off to Ferris or Grand Valley or whatever?
Yeah. So I think that the matchmaker process through the EDP, you know, we use a product called Career Cruising. Most CTE centers around the state of Michigan use Career Cruising, and to have the parents, to encourage the parents to engage their students in that matchmaker process. You know, as the interest inventory is conducted, students will be asked questions like, do you enjoy standing on your feet all day? No. Do you enjoy working with the public? No. But I want to be a cosmetologist. Well, you know, let's take a step back.
Yeah.
You know, you don't like being on your feet and you don't like people. So, you know, you might want to look at some different programs, or you might want to think of some different career opportunities. So I think having parents engage their students either in that process or just through real dialogue. And as a generation of parents, we have to understand and value skilled trades in the same way that we value other professions. You know, we have to value, you know, Sam's decision to pursue EMT in the Air Force as much as if she had decided to go to Harvard to be a lawyer. And, you know, and one of the points of emphasis that I want to make is it doesn't have to be either or.
Sure.
Skilled trades, professional trades, or, you know, college. You know, there can be a combination for a lot of people. You might start off in one career field and jump to another, in which you might find yourself needing some different training or some additional college. But we know from data that careers are no longer static. You know, someone doesn't go to GM, you know, and work in a factory for 40 years. You know, I think the average career changes is seven at this point. For the average person, they'll change a career seven different times. So what we want to do, going back to that principle of helping students connect the value of work and vocation with the ability to find some fulfillment through contribution and earning a paycheck at some point as well, because that's kind of important if you're going to ever be self-sufficient.
That's very true. So I will leave the last word to you two. Like, if there's a student out there that's thinking about this or going, the idea of college is not quite on my mind yet, like, Bailey, what would you tell them about checking some place like this out at the CPE?
I would tell them I'd really suggest to come here and explore their options. If you don't find what you're looking for on the first try, I know my school has days that you can come back. I think there's like a set of three or four more days that you can come back, and you can choose to come back all those days, one of those days, and you can really just explore your options, where they'll say, well, how many are you looking at? And you'll say, okay, I'm looking at these ones, and they'll send you to those, and you can get a little more hands-on. Instead of it being, you know, every 30 minutes you have to switch to a next one, like the first visit, you can go in and spend an hour in one and an hour in another one, and it really gets you to get your hands on in there and see if you really like it. College does not have to be the one thing that you have to go and do. Personally, I know I had, you know, thought about it before and said, well, I think I want to do that. But when I found out that I can get my degree in welding here and then just go right out into the field, I started looking at that option more, where I don't have to go in debt and I don't have to find more issues than good. So that's kind of, just kind of keep your mind open to everything and try different things here and there.
And Sam, for you, a slightly different version of a story, like, if your parents think one thing and you've kind of got it, what's some advice to students of kind of how to start that conversation with their parents about, hey, I would like to try this. Even if I end up going to college, for 2 years I want to do this thing.
Right, yeah. I was very upfront with my parents. I was just kind of frank with it, and I think we both appreciated that, and they gave me their opinion, and I said, well, you know, this is my life. It's going to be my path. So they, you know, respected that, and they came to terms with it and everything. So usually it works out for the better. I have to say it was definitely for the better.
Awesome.
You know, it's interesting for us, you know, in education. I think by the time students get to high school, learning has become synonymous for so many of them with doing questions at the end of a chapter or a worksheet, or it's a completion of steps, right? And then you got your homework or you don't have your homework. Did you study for your test or did you not study for your test? So it's really becomes disconnected. Education and learning become disconnected. And what we have noticed with a large segment of our population, they get back to the career center, or they come to the career center, and they start making that connection between education and learning again. Everything is contextual, so you're learning for purpose, and when you learn something, you're able to take those skills and you're able to apply them to accomplish something that you could not do previously. And I think that light goes off for a lot of our students, you know, and we know that if a new behavior is to be, you know, put into somebody's repertoire, so to speak, they have to, for one, value the outcome of that behavior. And secondly, they have to have a reasonable expectation that they can do that. And what we do here in a contextual fashion is we start building that back up in kids and students so that they experience success and they start thinking, I can do this. Or, hey, you know what? I can actually go back there and I can balance those tires, or I can conduct a diagnostic on an electrical system within a car with the skills that I've learned here. And so learning becomes very real for them again, and it also means something to them because they make the connection with what they're doing and what they hope to do someday.
So if people want to get a hold of you, Steve, how do they do that? What's the website? How do they start
so,
the process?
Yeah, our website, if they actually just go to the ISD website, it's www.moisd.org, and they can click on Career and Technical Education, and they can find our homepage. They can call the main office. Our number is 231-796-5805. But, yeah, we'd love to tell them more about what's going on in Career and Technical Education.
Huge thanks to Steve Locke, Sam, and Bailey from MOISD. If you'd like more information, stay tuned for new episodes of the NOCTI podcast.